To live in springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Mwachukwu ministering.
The message you're about listening to is a New Year message on God's secret for successful living. You know, sometimes we all agree, we all desire success, we want to be successful. Where you have the disparity is in defining what success is. Is success measured in naira and kobo? What is success? Was the life of Jesus a success when he was being crucified on the cross? And yet the word of God said, cast his seed that hangeth on a tree. Was Stephen a success as he died on a pile of stones? What is success? Success is doing the will of God. And the message you're about listening to deals with the element of what true success is. The secret of success lies in making sure that whether you are a carpenter, a teacher, an engineer, a doctor, an artisan, whatever it is, that thing is the will of God for you. And successfully doing it to the glory of God is success. May the Lord open your eyes of understanding as we share in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, being our first Sunday of this year, we'd like to share again in our conversation on God's secret for successful living. God's secret for successful living. I want to live out a successful life. I want to be somebody at the end of life. It will be that I know that I have made it, I've made the mark. There's nobody who doesn't desire that. We all do. It's just that we have different perceptions of what success is. Some people have Hollywood image of what success is. And Hollywood is not real. All film. Some people have conceptions of what success is according to their village, according to their tradition, according to their social understanding. But we are looking at God's secret for successful living. And we can immediately begin to define success. Success in life is when you do the will of God. It doesn't matter what that will of God may be. Mary was very successful, even though they were abusing her. And even up until she died, some people never believed her story. They thought she was playing false. In fact, in some of the extra-biblical materials, they even give us the name of the Roman soldier that impregnated her. All kinds of horrible stories have been written about her. But I'm assuring you that she was a very successful woman. There is no other woman in history that the Bible said is blessed amongst women like Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. She's a fantastic woman. She's blessed. And yet, the profile of the world on her is not what you may call success. Success is when you have done the will of God. Imagine Jeremiah. The Bible said of Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And when you were there, I ordained you a priest unto the nations. Imagine Jeremiah coming out and the mother said, or the father, I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be an engineer. I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be a soldier. I want you to be a diplomat. And according to the understanding of those areas, depending on whom the parents' friends have been, because their other friend had a doctor, the other one had a lawyer, the other one had an engineer, the other one had a teacher, the other one had a soldier, this thing becomes the indices for measurement, but they do not conform to divine will. Success in life is not doing what everybody else approves, but doing the will of God. And when I have done the will of God, I know I am successful. Like we used to sing in our Igbo song, Mamu Chechineko Zuoromo Mameya Mamu Chechineko Zuoromo. Meyao, 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 ma. Once I do the will of God, it is enough for me. That will of God may not suit the next person sitting by your side. It may not please your parents. It may not please your teacher. It may not please your family. Your community may not like it. Even your church leaders may not like it. But quite frankly, all these people I've mentioned are inconsequential to your existence. You were sent here for a mission by the divine God. And this God who sent you here had a purpose for creating you. Just as he had purpose for those you have mentioned. And if everybody is filling into the purpose of God, success in life is being achieved. And today, we are looking into God's secret for successful living. Our text is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to verse 9. God's secret for successful living. Romans chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 9. And I'll begin reading. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I'd like you to listen very carefully to the words of the Master. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. Some translations say, your reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Verse 7. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ.
You may be seated.
The secret of successful living. May I suggest to you that as you look at what he said, the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul at a time when he didn't know that he'd be going to Rome. And certain Christians at that time who had gone to Rome had established the church, as had been the custom of the church planting. As people move, okay, I'm being transferred to Abuja like the Abuja brethren, you meet and start a fellowship. I am being transferred to this place, then you meet there and start a fellowship. And as the church was moving, and these brethren who have gone to Rome, they started the church. And they raised certain questions which the apostle was addressing. In chapter 1, they raised the question of their great grandmothers and grandparents and asked, what about our people who never heard the gospel? And the apostle answered them and showed that what should be known of God was very manifest in creation, and that God will judge everybody according to that light. And by the way, the Jews said, okay, we have the law, thank God, we are not like any other people. He told them it is not those who have the law that are important, but those who keep them. That circumcision is a matter of the heart and not a function of the flesh. That when you say thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not, but you rob the temple of God and you do that, that those who don't have the law are even better than those who have the law and don't keep them. And in chapter 3, he spoke about the universal nature of the sin of man and said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 4, he begins to expound the righteousness that comes by faith. And gives us the example of Abraham, that what God gives is this. And in chapter 5, he told us about the peace we have with God. And in chapter 6, he began to tell us of the transpositional nature, the change that occurs when one says that he's born again. And when you are in Christ, not only that our old things are passed away, but you literally die. And you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. In chapter 8, he emphasizes that those who want to live by the flesh, they cannot make it. That you are now a Christian is not a question of will. In chapter 7, sorry, it's not a question of willpower, but a question of walking with God. And he gave his own example. The things I want to do, I cannot do. The things I don't like are the things I do. But he told us that what the Lord will not do in chapter 8, in that it was we, God by the Spirit, have given us victory. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. And of course, in chapter 9, we are told what he told them about the relationships that exist between us and the civil government and authorities. Again, he expounds and even makes further inroad into the relationship of what happens when we, as a people of God, understand our place in the canopy of God's history. In chapter 10, the apostle also begins to expound the place of the Jews, and he told us that they bear zeal for the things of God, but not according to knowledge. In chapter 11, he explains our relationship and the second coming of Jesus Christ. He told us in chapter 11 that actually what happens, and when you know that when Jesus will come, that this period is the period of the Gentiles. And that what is going to happen is that when the Jewish nation is restored back, and there's a ministration and a spiritual awakening, then of course we are going to know that God's power and God's grace is greatly working in our lives. For if they are being cast away, is reconciling to the world, what will acceptance be but life from the dead? The time they were cast away, it brought salvation, preaching time for the Gentile. What will now happen when the Jews are reconciled to God? He said it will be the time for the resurrection from the dead. The second coming will occur. And of course, in chapter 13, he emphasizes relationship to governments. And in chapter 14, he deals with the elements of the gifts. But in chapter 12, which is what we are dealing with today, he still deals with the elements of the gifts,
But then an essential thing he said from verse 1 and 2 is what has caught our interest and what I want to dwell on today. Romans chapter 12 again. Let's look at Pastor Obi. Can you please help us as we read that verses 1 and verse 2 again?
I beseech you therefore, brethren.
The word he uses there is a word of exhortation. Listen, it's what you call in the Greek language an exhortative command. You can say that he is telling you what to do. But let me tell you, you are not allowed to have an option in what is being suggested. It's like somebody telling you, I like to advise you not to miss any Sunday unless something terribly wrong is wrong with you. But don't miss any Sunday this year. Be in worship. I'm advising you not to. And somebody say, well, you just gave me a piece of advice not to miss Sunday. You have missed the whole thing. That advice is mandatory in the language flow that he put it. It is something that he's saying, if you like, put it this way. I advise you in your own interest to avert things of graver consequence that will happen to you. Don't miss any Sunday. Then you begin to understand the threat inside it. Let's take it again.
I beseech you therefore, brethren.
I am encouraging you. And by the way, I want you to know that this encouragement is something I want you to do. Yes.
By the mercies of God.
And I'm using the mercy. I know that you may not have power, but I pray that the mercy of God will be available to you. The unmerited grace, that the favor of God will help you, that there will be encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Yes.
That you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Very interesting euphemism. You present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Why would it be a living sacrifice? The reason is very simple. Paul was coming from his Jewish background. When you bring a sacrifice that you want to be used, or an animal you want to be used for sacrifice, it must be alive. And if that animal is alive, from what we told you in the past, there are certain things that must be done to make sure that that animal is in order. They will make sure that it has no blemish. It's not blind. It's not deaf. One ear is not missing. No toe is missing. It's not broken in the limb. There is nothing. So when you come to God, when you present yourself to God, come to Him so that you are in a verifiable condition. Don't wait until you are on your sick bed.
God, I'm promising you, once I get up from this bed, anything you want me to do this year, I will do it. Lord, you know I'm just behind bars. Once I'm released, look, God, if you release me this year, I'm going to serve you. God, if you give me this promotion, Lord, if you can open your memo, can make a double 1,000 naira this year.
What will 1,000 naira be, sir? 1,000 naira, only 1,000. If it is, then don't pray that prayer. Pray to be a millionaire. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Lord, I'm praying that when you lead me and I become, I will really help you, I will serve you.
No. He's not asking you to be in that condition. Let's see what he says. Yes.
That you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice, you are in a condition, like Malachi said, if I am your king, if the Lord is your leader, why then do you give me lame animals? Why do you bring offering to my table? Try and give it to your governors, as he said in that Malachi, and see whether they will accept it for you. You bring deaf, lame, crippled animals, blind, to my altar. So God is saying, one of the secrets of successful living, and we told you that successful living is doing the will of God, is that you must present yourself to God. And I want to challenge you this year as you go through, don't present yourself to political authorities, economic authorities, social emancipators, traditional authorities. Let your first presentation be to who? God. In other words, be God approved first in whatever you're doing. God, this thing I'm doing, let it receive divine approval.
God. Don't come and tell us that actually in our community, this is what everybody is doing. At the time that you were there, I have gone to so many marriages and traditions. Without anger or beer. Beer is our culture. You may have heard people argue that. And then you ask them, since when did the beer come into Nigeria? Is it not beer by our culture? Rebecca, beer the rebel of your culture. Is it okay? Let us get palm wine. When did palm trees, when were they introduced into the west coast of Africa and some of the areas that we have them? You know, so let us not go into some of those social studies matter. But then we need to be able to see what he's saying as he raises the question, present yourself, not to anybody, but to God. God, I want to be a driver this year. And I'm presenting myself to you. Father, I want to be a nurse. I want to go to school. Let God be number one in your decision. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
That you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Your body as a sacrifice. No hidden agenda. There is nothing as a living sacrifice. Yes?
Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
And that is holy, and it will now be acceptable to God, and this is your reasonable act of worship. You come to God, but God does not control your dressing. When they talk about the way you will dress, and so go and go. I can dress anyhow. When they tell you how you are going to actually turn out in your hair, Lusobu, that is when you will remember some other domestic duties you will go and do. This is the time I want to be able to go and do this and I want to go and do that. Then they will talk to you about issues. You say, no, let's take it again and see what it says.
That you present your bodies.
Present your bodies.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Holy,
holy,
acceptable to God,
acceptable to God,
which is your reasonable service.
And by the way, whether I'm preaching now and I'm doing anything, and God has not approved the person inside, everything I'm doing will be fire consumable. Every man's work shall be tested by fire. So this doesn't concern a committee or group. It's me. It's like my offering. I bring my offering. I hope they will like this offering. That is terrible. Is the offering okay with me and God? Does it represent the measure of God's grace upon my life? That is what makes it acceptable. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, without blemish, holy, and it must be acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Verse 2.
And do not be conformed to this world.
Then he comes to a very metaphorical language. Don't be conformed to this world. I think you want to have a successful life, successful living. First, present yourself to God. Let God be your measurement. Let God be the person. God, I'm standing like an animal for sacrifice. Show me what is wrong in my life. Put those things that I need to put together. It has nothing to do with the next person. It is me. And then having moved away from there, the next thing he's saying is, do not be conformed to this world. The Apostle Paul is using the imagery of molding of bricks in those days. We can say molding of blocks. You have 9 inches block. You have 5 inches one. You have 6 inches blocks. You have block molders that have no holes. You have some that have holes. Paul is saying that when you see these molders, once you mix up your mortar or your paste or sand and cement, you put it into the molder, vibrate it, and then do it. When you remove it, every of those blocks will be turning out the same. Paul is saying, don't turn out the same like the world. If you want to live successfully, don't allow the mold of the world to turn you around. Don't turn out as everybody. Well, I'm a politician, but let me tell you what is in politics in this country and all over the world. If you are a politician, like was reputed, one man said, one of the great men said one time, that who knows what one Nigeria means? And we are told that so many people answered so many questions. Others answered the question that one Nigeria means somebody from Yoruba land, somebody from Igbo land, somebody from Efik, Hausa, all of us. He said wrong. And as they kept answering, mixing up so many things, they said they don't know. He said, okay, what does one Nigeria mean? He said, one Nigeria means you chop, I chop, no trouble. But when you chop and I don't chop, then there's trouble. One Nigeria, take your own, I take my own. So what? It may be his idea of one Nigeria. And Paul is saying here, do not allow that concept to turn you out. You are a Christian. You presented yourself to the Lord and you are holy. You are acceptable to God. So if this is your idea, you should not turn out like a molded block looking like that. You say, ah, Oga, you don't know what you are talking about. I work with the police. And sometimes you may be asking to get us returns and some of these things. And you don't even know what you are talking about. So if I go out, I say, John the Baptist said to the soldiers who came to him, don't rob people. Don't use your power force to force them to pay things. Don't accuse them falsely in the name of Jesus Christ. So he is saying, don't turn out to be like the rest of the world. So you went for an exam. Exam these days, you don't just trust on what you read. Okay, pastor. If you go to exam without doing what you are supposed to do, you will fail. I'm telling you. So what do you do? I borrow 10,000. I will give to my lecturer. By the way, I've gotten the boy who will write for me. And he'll be writing for me with my number and my ID and everything. It reminds me of when we were marking WAEC. And I used to have time before the church got busy. We go to GTC and we mark. We're involved in marking BK and all this and all that. And I recall this script I got somewhere. I will not tell you from what part of the country. And as we were marking, we got one script. And we had to take it to our coordinator who was there. The boy wrote there, or the girl, my father is dead. My mother is dead. I didn't see how that was an answer to any of the questions in the paper. By the time you turn the other one, he said, I've enclosed this 5 naira. That time 5 naira was a lot of money. I've enclosed this 5 naira so that you will be able to know what to do. So we took it to our group coordinator. He said, you should know what to do now. What do we do? He said, give him a good 0 upon 0 upon 0. And that was how my father is dead, my mother is dead. And I've enclosed this 5 naira so that you will know what to do. If that's what everybody is doing and they know what to do, do not be conformed to this world in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say that verse 2 again?
And do not be conformed to
this. Don't be conformed. Don't. That's why Christianity, for so many people, those who will persecute the true Christians are those who claim to be Christians but are not. The Pharisees and the Sadducees of our time. Because a true Christian is a non-conformist, and they are going to call him a fanatic. They are going to call him all manner of names. The reason is, do you want the secret of successful living 2007? Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Number 2, don't walk with the worldly standard. Let God's standard be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, please.
But be transformed.
Be transformed.
By the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Very interesting. The transformation that comes on the mind is like David said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse himself? By taking heed thereto, according to your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So I want to live successfully. I want to be able to live out this year and make it. Present yourself to God this year. God, you made me, you brought me here, and I want to do your will. Secondly, don't try to conform to the standards of the world. Don't try to, if you can't beat them, join them. Brethren, we are going somewhere. We are on a pilgrimage. We are on a journey. Someday we are going to leave this earth. We are going to meet our master. And no matter how consolidated this place may look to you, it is stored up for fire. We are going to meet the King of Kings. We are going to give account of our life. We are going to stand before a great judge. And we are going to testify how we lived in the flesh. It may not make meaning to you now. It may not make sense. But what you've done with your body, what you have done with the opportunity God gave you, what you have done with the chances God gave you, what you have done with your resources, what you have done with the open door God gave you, one day is coming. God of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, is going to ask you, what did you do with the skills I gave you? What did you do with them? We are stewards of God's manifold blessings. We are not here on our own. We are here to represent somebody. And that's why the Bible calls us ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are His ambassadors. And God is requiring us to make sure we don't live anyhow. Say, Pastor, it's very tough now to be a Christian. It has never been easy. What do you think happened to Daniel in Babylon? If Daniel was living in our age today, he would probably not have any problem unless he would stand out. And if he stood out, they would probably crucify him. They'll throw him not to just a lion, but they'll make sure that they crucify him. What do you think was wrong with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It's the same thing. Why do you think the early church and the early Christians paid dearly for their faith? It's the same thing. If you are going to be a Christian, then there is a standard for Christian. If you are in business and you are a Christian and you want to be successful, hear me, there is a standard for Christian business people. You can't do business the worldly way and expect God to prosper you. If you are going to be a Christian and you are in school, hear me, there is a standard for Christian people in school. They must study and study to be diligent people. If you are a housewife, if you are a husband, there is a standard. If you are a medical doctor, there is standard for God's people. If you are a teacher, there is God's standard. If you are a social worker, there is God's standard. If you are a nurse, there is God's standard. If you are a lawyer, there is God's standard. If you are a minister, a policeman, a member of the security forces, there is God's standard. If you are a politician, politicized for Christ, there is God's standard. And that is what God is expecting from all of us. And that is what will make this year successful. You cannot play it like the world and hope that in the great by and by, success will greet you. It doesn't work like that. If you are an artisan, whatever is the artisan perspective, whether you are involved in repairs or management of things or construction, that is God's standard. You can't tell somebody that what is good in his car is wrong. And then you collect that money and expect that you will put it in your business, things will go. No, it will go bad. There is no way if you are sewing for people, you can cheat them out of their material and expect to have progress. It will not work. If you are a landlord, there is God's standard for what you house that God has given you. And you must hold that thing in trust. If you are a tenant, God expects you to pay your rent to the person who is giving you that house. Don't go there and cause confusion and commotion. There is a standard that will guarantee success in the name of Jesus Christ.
So that as you and I are into that, and you are doing what God asks us to do, you will see that the rest of the things that we are going to be reading in that scripture passage will be working out exactly the way God had proposed it. Success is doing the will of God. And whatever that thing God has given in you and put in your hands, make sure that you are doing it. Not, okay, I am working for this man now, and I'll serve the man for 2-3 years. I am hoping that before 4 years, 5 years, somehow, I'll be able to get out something there to start my own. If you start your own, it will collapse. You can never start your own and succeed when you have not faithfully served another person. And I want to tell you that our God is not the author of confusion. If you don't know how to loyally, dedicatedly serve where you're serving, humbly serve, selflessly, make sure that that place is going on, set up your own. I give you 7 months, it must collapse. God will send somebody who will pay you back in your own coins. And what we are talking about is God's secret for successful living. How do I want to do it? Make sure you do not follow the patterns of the world. Let us follow the pattern of God. There was this person, the story was told, when he was raising poultry. I wouldn't mention the substance in case there are people of warped mind here who may do it, because it's a very common substance. And he noticed that this man who was raising this poultry, any bird that is dead, they don't eat it, they throw it away. And when he came there, they were throwing the bird, they were collecting it. About one bird may die, or two or three, because they manage the poultry farm very well. About 1,000 birds. And this man will collect the dead bird. They had no problem. He will ask shibu, will ask huchu, and thyme with ginger. You cook it. Even if it has bird flu, it will kill the bird flu. And then you will enjoy your chicken meat. So the people were just making sure they were enjoying the best. At a point, he got into his head that instead of going with a bird that may die once in 2 weeks, why can't I increase the mortality of the bird? So he came with this thing that I will not mention. And then he will make the chicken, he put it in their feed. And it goes into their nose. But I cannot even see any microbe. And they will go into their nose, and a lot of them were falling off. And then the guy will be coming secretly, will come to work with a bag. So by the next day, when he can say, many of these birds are dead, he said, hey, is it the water that is not clean or what? Did everything inside himself. Shineke, thank you, sir. And at the end, he will open the bag and collect the dead things. And the wife was very busy, opened up a restaurant. Until it was discovered. You came to a man's poultry who was paying you. You brought snuff and you were putting it into his chicken to be killing them. So that you can go and be eating chicken meat of another man's sweat. And you tell me that person will prosper. Even as you are listening to the story, will he prosper? No! Can you read that verse 2 again?
And do not be conformed to this world.
Don't be conformed! That may be the pattern of the world, that when you are employed by your organ, you try to spoil your organ's business to set up your own, or that work like that.
But be transformed by
the... Be transformed!
By the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So that God, you can know. The will may be good. I don't have the liberty of going into all that. But it may not be acceptable. It may be acceptable, but it may not be the perfect will of God. It is important that the three components are there. It is good, it is acceptable, and it is the perfect will of God. And when that is done, verse 3.
For I say, through the grace given to me,
yes,
to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Amen. Brethren, we are stewards of God's manifold grace. None of us is sufficient in himself. And if you want to have a successful 2007, make sure you bring yourself as a sacrifice before the Lord. Whatever you want to do, get divine approval. And by the way, don't allow the worldly sense, the worldly wisdom to guide you. Let the word of God renew your mind and be your guide. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Perhaps God may have been speaking to somebody here today, and as far as you are concerned, you are saying to yourself that I really do want to have an opportunity to walk with God. I want to have an opportunity to walk with Him. And somehow last year you've been involved in certain shady things. And how have you fared? This year, it's like you are saying, I really wish God can forgive me. He will. God will forgive you. If you will repent where you are right now. God, I repent of some of the things I did. I want to have a successful 2007. And I present myself before you as a living sacrifice. And I'm asking you, oh God, that your word, not public opinion, not what somebody says, will be my guide. If you were involved in such a thing, and you are asking God for a new beginning, stand up where you are and talk to your God about where you have been and what you want Him to do for you this year. Just stand where you are and say, God, this is what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to change my understanding. Lord, help me to be the person that you have called me to be. I want to live for you completely. And I dedicate myself afresh as a living sacrifice, as my reasonable act of worship. Wherever you are, stand there and pray. Just stand over there and pray. Don't come out. I'm not asking you to come out. Stay over there and talk to your Maker. Tell Him, Lord, I understand what you're saying. And this year, I don't want to waste another year. I don't know how many more years I have on earth. But you see, this year, I want it to count. And I'm not going to allow the devil to cheat me. I'm not going to think that anybody is owing me anything. I am a steward. It is grace that has brought me thus far. And this grace will see me through. Lord, I stand in my place. And I ask you, God, forgive my unfaithfulness. Cleanse me from those areas I have not been what you call me to be. And today, O God, I place myself, I bring myself as a living sacrifice. And I'm asking you, O God, change my direction, change my life. And I come to you who made me, even before I was in my mother's womb, even before I knew myself, I know you had a purpose for me. Father, teach me to discover that good, acceptable, and your perfect will. I tell you, it starts when you present yourself as a living sacrifice. And you said, I'm not going to follow the pattern of this world. This is the way they do it here. No, I'm not going to follow that pattern. I want to know what God is saying. And you will join the rank of Daniel, Esther, Shepherd, Meshach, Abednego, Timothy, Paul, and all of us who must have to pay a price if you want to follow Christ. And you are saying to God, I'm going to follow you, O God, this year. And you know what God said? You will have a hundredfold of God's blessing in this life. And in the life to come, eternal life. Therefore, O God, we speak concerning your children. And I ask you for the expiation that comes on the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse, O God. Remove, O God, what the enemy have been using to frustrate their prayers and frustrate their progress. As those things stand, O God, as altars, as those things stand witnessing against them, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we absolve them from them this day in the power, in the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask you for cleansing, O God. We ask for the renewal that comes from your word. We ask, O God, that as they present themselves as living sacrifices, we walk with you. And in walking with you, O God, may your blessing abide with them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Quite frankly, as we look at success, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, not dead sacrifice, not sacrifice with blemish, but that one ingredient of true success from God is not so much in what you do, but in whom you are. The being. There are so many people who were kings in Israel, but there was one that was a man after God's own heart. And true success starts with our relationship with God Almighty, making sure that we place God as number one. Whatever we are doing in thought, in word, and deed, let it be things that will glorify the Lord. And secondly, let's not measure things from the worldly standard. Do not be conformed to this world, but let us be having a renewal of the mind through the word of God. Let the word of God guide us, not the social ethos, not situational ethics. Everybody is doing it. And that is how we do it here. That may be how everybody is doing it, but it doesn't make it right. Everybody is copying in the exam, doesn't make it right. And everybody gives bribe, doesn't make it right. And everybody is a cheat, doesn't make it right. As in Oburifojo Obaharo, Obulo Menane. Success. God's secret. Give your life to God. Surrender your life to Jesus. Draw your inspiration from Him. Don't follow the patterns of this world. Sometimes what we call culture is mere glorified paganism. What is God saying? May the Lord lead you to higher heights. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Join us again same time next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Trinzeku, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday prayer power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible study by 5 p.m., and Friday night vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.